Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
We love bringing you the biggest names from the world of country music here on the podcast, so thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe if you haven't already, and that way you'll never miss an episode. And if you're in the UK, you can listen to Absolute Radio Country live and enjoy the No Repeat Guarantee. It's our promise to never play the same song twice during your workday between 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. Right, on with the podcast.
This is the Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
Carby Calais,
hi.
I'm so excited that you are A, in the UK, and B, you're like, hey, country music, give me a hug. Because, you know, you've always been kind of, look, I know going like, I'm this type of artist, I'm that type of artist, and people putting you in a box. Nobody needs that, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, what you've done, it's always been hard to kind of go, oh, this is this or this is that. It's just Carby Calais.
Yeah.
But it's always had a little bit, to my ears, a little bit of country in there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I grew up with classic rock and reggae and all different kinds of music. And, you know, I started writing songs on my guitar. And so it's very like singer-songwritery, very folk organic. And I've been going to Nashville most of my career, writing with people and doing a lot of country collaborations. So it really felt like a natural progression for this record to be a country record. And I've been living in Nashville for 8 years. And I love the steel guitar and the dobro. And
yeah.
I'm like, can I have these on my record? Like, is this okay? And so, you know, I think genres, like, everyone loves multiple genres. And I feel like as a writer, you're able to write all.
So you had such huge success. And, you know, you were one of these artists that people were just obsessed by and, you know, knew every word, and people were just so into you. And then it felt like maybe that happened, and then you kind of went away and were doing your own thing, maybe a little bit quietly. I mean, is that fair to say that you had a moment where you're like, let me just think about this for a bit? And you were still obviously working, you were still creating and stuff like that. But A, did you feel that huge success, or were you just like, yeah, this is how it happens? And did you need to take a moment after that?
So yeah, with my first album, Coco, and with Bubbly, it was a whirlwind. I wasn't prepared for any of that to happen. My friend put my song on MySpace, and then I got a record deal, and I went on tour, and it was just this whirlwind of life, and I was traveling for 2 years. And how old
were you then?
I was 21.
Right, okay.
21 and 22. So, and then after that, I started working on my second album, and everything was just different. And so I was continuing to put records out over most of these years. I mean, this solo album, it's been 7 years since I released my last solo album. But otherwise, yeah, I was still putting music out and touring. But
was there a huge pressure, though, after a success like that?
Yeah.
You know, and maybe that's an outside pressure, or maybe that's just a pressure you're putting on yourself.
It's both. I mean, it's for sure an outside pressure. Mm. And like you have a team and you have so many people that are involved in your career and your music and wanting the next thing to be big and great as well. And so there's all those pressures. But, you know, I felt like it took me a long time to really love the career, because I love writing and I love singing, but I didn't really like all the touring and travel. I found it to be,
right.
I just loved being home. I wanted to be with my family and my dogs. And so it was hard. So it took me a lot of getting used to. So I tend to like to stay home a lot more.
And so did you grow up in Malibu in California?
I was born in Malibu. I grew up like a little inland in Thousand Oaks. It's like 30 minutes inland.
Oh, Thousand Oaks, yeah. And then you moved to Nashville, as you said. You've been there for a while. That's a very different experience.
It is. It's so much fun. I love it there.
It's really lovely, isn't it, Nashville? Like, it's a very, like, it's a big, small city that feels like a community.
It absolutely is a community. Everyone is friends. Everyone knows each other. It's a very supportive community with music, and I feel like everyone is just rooting each other on. Like, we're all each other's fans. Everyone's friends. You run into each other everywhere you go, for the most part. And for me, I feel like I'm living life more there. Like, we go to hockey games. We go to soccer, football games. We go to everything, concerts all the time. And it was different than living outside of L.A. It was just too difficult when I lived there.
And did that have a little bit of something to do with really kind of going full-on country, like being there? Obviously, Nashville's a music city. There's loads of types of music there.
Yeah.
But also, it's impossible to be in Nashville and not eventually get yourself a cowboy hat.
Well, yeah. And I mean, I wasn't raised on country music, but I've been listening to it for the last, like, for sure 10 years. And by being in Nashville and living there, living the lifestyle, I dated a guy that had a ranch and horses and property. Like, we did all the things.
Do you have a truck?
So Of course, he had a truck. Thank he had you. A tractor. I mean, like all this stuff. But it's just funny because it does become your lifestyle, and then you start writing about it.
In the truck, did you ride on the passenger side, or were you sitting in the middle with your hand on his knee, like every country song?
He didn't
ever.
Have the like. It wasn't no one bench of those seats. Bench sheets. No, but we would like hold hands in the middle. So,
you also, as a songwriter, "Breathe" by Taylor Swift, wrote that. So, did you know Taylor before that, or were you just
no.
She knew your reputation? She knew your songs.
Yeah, she asked to write with me. So, I went to Nashville because I still lived in California at that time. And we wrote together and then we just was, you know, she was incredible to write with and to work with, and at such a young age too.
Yeah, how old was she then?
Late teens.
So super young and already very accomplished.
Absolutely.
And then of course you get to re-record it because you know, she being the boss that she is, decides that she's taking back control. And you got the call to go in and re-record that with her. What was that like?
You know, it was cool. It was very easy. You know, just went to a studio in Nashville, sang my harmonies, and she was sweet. She sent me a sweet bouquet of flowers and a cardigan sweater as a thank you. And yeah, it's cool to be a part of that too.
That's a good way to say thank you. I can barely write a thank you card, let alone send someone a cardigan.
I know.
She gives and she gives.
She does.
How many years do you reckon since you've been to the UK?
13 or so.
Well, and you're not doing it by half because you're coming back this year later.
I am.
At the end of August to play the Long Road Festival.
Yes.
So you're making up for lost time.
I am. I'm so excited.
So let's talk about this album. So before this, I was super excited when, was it Gone West?
Yeah.
So Gone West, I was like, oh, here we go, Kobe Calais, we're back. Yes, and that was pretty country.
Yeah, it was a country album.
And we were playing that a lot. And then suddenly, Gone West, gone. And then, thankfully, Kobe Calais, back as Kobe Calais. So let's talk about this new album. Is it all done in Nashville?
Yeah, it was all recorded in Nashville over... we were in the studio for like a week or two with the band. And I've been writing this record, or I was writing it over the pandemic. So it started in like the fall of 2020. And it took me a really long time to make the record. But I wanted to take my time with this one because most records in the past, it's very much like you book a ton of sessions and you're also touring, and it can be somewhat of a stressful process. And for this one, you know, the world was shut down. I was going through like an end of the band, an end of my relationship, and I was really just taking my time with what I wanted to say. So I only wrote a song when I had an idea. I would then text my writing buddies on the record and be like, okay, I have something, let's write something.
Are you better writing when you're happy or sad?
Sad. Yeah. I think everyone is. It's therapy.
You'd be surprised, Colby.
Well, I mean, I've written songs when I'm happy and in love, but for some reason...
And then everybody's like, we get it.
Yeah, like, okay, we all want the heartbreak songs. It's relatable. Yeah. It makes you feel like you're not alone in it.
Exactly.
I've listened to so many songs going through the breakups where you're just like, oh my God, you felt that way too, or they did that, or, you know, we all can relate.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing about music. And also, it's great, like... It's good self-help for people listening, but also great self-help for you know, artists,
the writer,
kind of
writing
through this stuff.
Absolutely.
And by this point, you'd lived in Nashville long enough that you've got a community around you, you've got friends. So when you're putting this album together, are you able, you just call friends? Like, do you do it that way? Do you like, oh, I know so-and-so will be great playing this or helping me write this?
Yes.
Does it work that way?
Yeah, so with Liz Rose and AJ Pruis. Well, Liz Rose I've written with before. She's a huge writer, obviously.
Yes.
And so she was the first one I texted. And I was like, I have a song idea. Can we get together? She's like a therapist for real. And she's like, yes, there's this guy I've been working with, AJ Pruis. And so we got together and the first song we wrote together was Worth It. And that's what I just kept doing. I would just call them and we'd write. And then there was a couple people on the record as well that I have written with in the past that I knew I wanted to write with. But I kept my team very small.
Collaborations, Sheryl Crow's on this album with you.
Yes.
That's exciting.
Dude, she's so cool.
I mean, she's super collaborative. And also she's another artist similar to yourself, was kind of hard to put into a box and has kind of dug into the kind of more rootsier Americana kind of country side of things. So did you know her before this?
Yes, she had me open for her tour like 10 or 12 years ago. And
were you like,
Of course. I mean, like right before that, I toured with John Mayer the summer before, and then I toured with Sheryl Crow. I was like, what is happening? This is so cool.
There's a lot of screaming going on
there. For sure. And then we stayed in touch, and she lives in Nashville. She lives like down the street from me. So I asked her if I was like, you want to be on one of my songs?
And did she said, for some sugar? Like, can I borrow some sugar? And would you be on a song with me?
I texted her, and then she sent me this sweet voice note, and like, oh my God, she'd be honored to. I still have it. She's so cute. And then like, I just drive over to her house and we record the song and then shoot the music video in Dixon, Tennessee. And she's just great.
Any other dream collaborations?
I love, for like country, I love Morgan Wallen. I love Cody Johnson. I mean, at the list, I have a very long list of, where I'm already in the studio working on new music. And so my list of duets and collaborations is very long.
What about outside of country?
Post Malone.
Yeah.
Chris
Martin, although kind of
Coldplay.
In country as well.
Well, yeah, now. Yeah. But I mean, you know, I've been covering his song Circles and I love it. So, and I met him at the CMA Awards. We hugged twice. he was so sweet.
I was at the CMA Awards. We didn't hug. I didn't see him, but he puts on such a great show, and he seems to have such a lovely, sweet energy.
He does.
About him.
He's very sweet and kind and like polite. I was very I didn't know what to expect when I met him, but he was great.
It just shows you, doesn't it? Like, it don't judge a book by its cover, you know it. And Jelly Roll, again, same,
he's
is one
great.
Of the kindest, nicest,
same.
Loveliest people.
He was my manager's neighbor, and I saw him at one of the like BMI Awards or something, and he like got up and like, he was like, I'm a huge fan. He was so sweet. You just don't know what to expect when you meet someone.
No, exactly. So always be wide open, because you just never know. I was listening to a podcast the other day where somebody had said when they were a kid, their mom told them that if they ever got lost, like when they were in a store or they were out, to always go find a punk or a goth.
Oh my God.
Because they would be the kindest people and they would help. And they did. Like they
put on this
they put on this kind of persona, but actually generally hearts of gold underneath. And she told this story. It was the person who had been approached by this little girl who said, you know, she was shopping with like piercings and face tattoos and all the rest. And a little tearful girl came up and went, are you a goth?
Oh my God.
And then, but it's so true, you know.
It is.
It's so true.
Yeah.
Hey, Beyonce's in the mix as well. Yeah. And everybody's buzzing about this, right? And, you know, I'm not looking for like some big headline quote here, but my approach to this is like, isn't this great that, A, she's from Texas, so please don't tell her what to do. But also, isn't it great that more people are feeling like they belong in country? And I don't just mean artists, but I mean listeners as well, and how wide open country is. Because even just some of the artists that we've talked about and your music, everybody we've discussed, it's totally different, but it's all under this big umbrella of country.
And it's music.
Yeah.
We all like different genres. We like different artists, and different artists, you know, have different styles of production or different ways of writing. And I love that Beyonce song. I think it's so fun. And I think that, again, it's music. If it's a good song, then listen to it. And it's authentic, too. If it's authentic, then that's what she is.
So what's next, Kobe Calais?
What's next? I'm making this new record,
which
wish I could talk about it, but I can't yet.
You can. I give you permission. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Just you and I. Don't worry. We'll keep it to ourselves.
But it should be coming out, or some new music, by summertime. And I have some shows scattered here and there. Obviously, I'm coming back to the UK in August.
Yes, at the Long Road.
Yeah. Yes, at the Long Road.
Well, we love that you're not leaving it 7 years again. By that point, maybe you can talk about this new album.
Absolutely will.
The Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
An in-depth look behind the scenes at the world of country music.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll have another dropping soon for y'all, so don't forget to keep it country.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk Podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.